Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Beren Bentelebu, Senior Fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who with his colleagues have provided me a checklist of what must happen in order to determine and continue to verify that the Islamic Republic of Iran, the perpetrator of predation towards its neighborhood and especially towards our allies Israel, never acquires a nuclear weapon, never seeks a nuclear weapon again, and never is a long time. Benham, a very good evening to you. You've published Iran's Nuclear Disarmament, the only deal that protects U.S. and allied security. Since you posted this, the President of the United States has had a conversation with the President of the Russian Federation, Mr. Putin. And according to news reports, both agree that Iran must not acquire a nuclear weapon. So despite all the contretemps in Europe, there is a single mind on this story. You published with your colleagues, Ord Khitri and Andreas Stricker, a checklist. And I want to go down the checklist because it's important not just that diplomats agree on a treaty, but that things happen and continue to happen while there's more fighting in Gaza, while there are threats from the Iran-supported Houthis against the U.S. Navy and shipping in the Red Sea. Still, things must happen. You want to require Iran to permanently adhere to and comply with international obligations. What are those? What is the nuclear non-proliferation treaty that we talk so much about? Good evening, Benham.
A very good evening to you, John. Great to be back with you. If we're starting off on the nuclear front, you know, we're tackling the 800-pound gorilla in the room. And there was a time when the P5, the five permanent members of the Security Council, really did agree that this was the really the major threat emanating from the Islamic Republic of Iran. That was back then, before this deal was agreed to, the 2015 Iran nuclear deal that was fatally flawed, the Obama-era nuclear deal, which President Biden tried hard to resurrect. Now in 2025, I think it's increasingly clear that despite Russia saying that they may not want Iran to be a nuclear power, I think Russia doesn't mind, particularly President Putin doesn't mind, that the Islamic Republic of Iran can become something of a nuclear nuisance more for America. So one of the many stories and one of the many things that have changed from 2015 to 2025 is that the other elements of the P5, the eastern elements of the P5, the Chinese and the Russians, have really begun to see Iran, integrate more with Iran, and even use Iran as something of a pawn in their game of strategic competition in the West. So as their individual competition with America heats up, they have actually been playing even less of a productive role, if one could even call it a productive role, vis-a-vis Iran in the past. And that brings us to our first point there that you mentioned, which is the international obligations. The regime is basically in violation of the NPT, the Non-Proliferation Treaty. There's a whole host of supplementary agreements like the Additional Protocol, the Comprehensive Safeguards Agreement, and Modified Code 3.1. These are basically all things that the Islamic Republic has fudged, is fudging, and likely will continue to fudge until it comes clean about its past and possibly ongoing present nuclear weaponization work. Most importantly, however, out of all of these, I would say the safeguards issue, the access of the International Atomic Energy Agency to the declared nuclear sites in the Islamic Republic, and the way the regime frames what is and isn't a nuclear site, and the kind of managed and limited and circumscribed access, and the shortcomings even with the monitoring and verification regime and the enforcement to what happens with the monitoring and verification regime on the back end. These are all critical, and these are all boring bureaucratic steps that began with the United Nations and the Europeans in the early 2000s that got us to where we are today, where the regime can make several nuclear bombs in less than a week, and it is now producing highly enriched uranium. This entire crisis was brought to you by the fact that the regime has not stopped enriching uranium at any level for even a single day since its nuclear file was referred from the Board of Governors at the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency in Vienna, to the United Nations Security Council, which is in New York. And that has treated the Iranian nuclear problem as an international problem for international security. So that's why getting this regime politically and legally back in line with these international obligations is going to have to be step one. A regime that is unwilling to do this means it is unwilling to deal.
Access to nuclear fuel. There's nuclear fuel in West Africa. There's nuclear fuel in Canada. There's nuclear fuel in Russia. I understand Russia makes a great deal of money on the nuclear fuel that it buys and then resells. How is it that we can cut off access? Because black markets are clever.
Well, there's two things here, access to nuclear fuel. One of the big problems with Iran is, again, the domestic side of its nuclear industry. The Clinton administration really managed to kind of trim the overt formal role of Russia in Iran's nuclear program when the Russians moved in to take over a light water reactor that the Germans had been building before the revolution. And the Russians would provide the fuel for this light water reactor, and the Russians would take away the spent fuel for this reactor. And that's why this reactor, the one at Bushehr, has been outside the contours mostly of these international debates over Iran's nuclear program. And that's why it is not really dealt with, or was not really dealt with, in the 2015 Obama-era nuclear deal. But that does not mean that we don't have other problems, because the regime, despite getting less than 2% of its electric grid from domestic uranium enrichment, which is one of the two ways you produce fissile material that could be used for a nuclear weapon, the other is reprocessed plutonium, the regime is basically fibbing. It's saying that I need this for national needs, for sovereign needs, for medical needs, for electricity needs. But in essence, they're not getting what they need for those needs from this program, because they're just enriching and storing, enriching and storing, enriching and storing. So basically what their behavior says is that they have future intentions for this growing stockpile that is not necessarily being plugged into the national electricity generation process that other civil nuclear fuel programs have. So while, yes, a good argument to come to the Iranians is to say you can get this fuel on the international market, the regime has actually not been looking to get the fuel on the market, because, as we know, this was never a question as to does this regime want a nuclear weapon. It's simply when and how and where and under what auspices. The real challenge is to get rid of the regime's ability on the home front inside their own country to make this nuclear fuel, to enrich this uranium. So that means dismantling and destroying this infrastructure. One of the problems with the 2015 Iran nuclear deal that claimed to solve this problem, but in reality kicked the can down the road in such a way that the can is now coming back at us at great speed, is that they had dismantled these centrifuges, these machines that spin and enrich uranium, but put them into storage. And one reason why the regime could scale up its program so drastically at a time of its own choosing, like we're seeing now, is because, well, it took those machines out of storage. So you have to dismantle and destroy, or dismantle and ship out. You have to, at the one hand, offer them access to civil nuclear markets if they want civil nuclear energy, but more importantly, you have to stop the domestic enrichment of uranium on Iranian soil. This was the reason, again, that there there was a safeguards crisis with this regime. They've been in violation of their national safeguards for two decades. And even U.S. allies, like the UAE in the Middle East, that have civil nuclear programs, do not enrich uranium on their own soil. Why do we permit something like this, which is exceptionally dangerous and sets a horrible precedent for a U.S. adversary, when we do not do that for a U.S. ally?
I'm speaking with Benin Bentaleblou, Senior Fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. We're speaking to a paper just published by Benin and his colleagues about what must happen if Iran is to be guaranteed never going to be in a nuclear weapons threat. There's more than just nuclear fuel. There's more than just nuclear weapons. They're the delivery systems when we come back. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date, it notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.